We have joining us today a very, very special guest, a recent, not recent, a frequent contributor to our Grecian Echoes radio broadcast, well-known to us all, Mr. David Palaiologos. David, of course, is the director of the Suffolk Political Research Center. And, well, they have recently conducted a poll, and we are the first interview, an exclusive interview, and I can't thank David enough for this because it, well, it is out. And USA Today, along with Suffolk, surveyed 500 United States residents who identify themselves with Russian heritage and another 500 residents who identify themselves as Ukrainian heritage, some American citizens, some not. The polls were taken just this past week from the 5th through the 10th of March and have a margin of error of plus or minus 4.4%. So we want to just set that record for our listening audience before we begin with David. I'm here with Nicoleta. David, this morning, we're delighted to have you. Kalimera.
Καλημέρα, καλημέρα Νικολέτα.
Καλημέρα σας κύριε Παραλόγο. Μεγάλη τιμή και χαρά σήμερα να σας φιλοξενούμε στο πρόγραμμά μας.
Of course.
How do you like that?
Before we get into the poll, Teddy, I want to wish my brother Jonathan a happy birthday. Today's his birthday, and I know for many years he worked for Orestes right there at WNTN.
You bet. Today's Jonathan's birthday. Jonathan Palaiologos, chronia supola, chronia supola. That's great. That really
time
is.
Time passes, my friend. Time passes.
It really does. David, you've been working really hard. You know, everything was COVID, 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 COVID. The war came, what is it, 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks ago? Sure. Everything has changed. The world has changed. COVID seems to be over. If it was ever to move on to something worse, I don't think we could have had it, scripted it this way. But you have been asking a lot of questions to a lot of people. And I'm going to just defer to you, David. Let the listening audience know exactly what you polled, who you polled, what questions you were asked. And let's see what the results were.
Sure. So, you know, we polled 500 Russian and 500 Ukrainian residents here in the United States. It's a national poll across the country. And, you know, Russians and Ukrainians have different demographics than the average American. They're highly educated, higher than the average American, higher incomes, and they disproportionately live in bigger cities. So the Northeast, the West Coast, good chunks in the Midwest, not so many in the South, although there are some in Florida. And I got the motivation to do this poll because of our orthodoxy. So, you know, Russians, Ukrainians, Eastern Europe, Greek Orthodox, there's a religious bond. And so this war is just tragic because, you know, the lion's share of Russians and Ukrainians are Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, almost all, really. I mean, it's a very small percentage of anything else. And you know this better than anybody, Teddy. You know, I mean, we've prayed knee to knee, shoulder to shoulder in Orthodox churches all over the place with Russian and Ukrainians. Mm-hmm. And here they are fighting and killing each other. And so I looked around the research world, and I said, nobody's polling people who are Russian and Ukrainian. And then when I started hearing about the Russian tea house in New York getting vandalized and people organizing boycotts against Russian people, I was like, I got to figure out, like, are they right? Are Americans right to be exercising our frustration with the war by taking it out on Russian Americans? And so the poll taught me something that I didn't expect, which is Russians in this country are anti-Putin. They're anti-Putin and they're pro-Ukraine by a wide, wide margin. So if you look at, for example, we ask questions like, did you support the invasion? Obviously, 94% of Ukrainians said no, but 87% of Russians said no. We asked the question about Putin. Do you approve or disapprove of Putin? 94% of Ukrainians said disapprove, but 85% of Russians disapproved. And then I thought about it and I said, well, maybe they're disapproving of Russia because they're here. in the United States. Maybe they're not so hot on President Zelensky.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't think well of him, but that wasn't the case either. 88% of Ukrainians approved of President Zelensky. 72% approved of President Zelensky who are Russian here. So what the poll is going to show when we release the results tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock is that there's a lot that these two groups agree on. And when my column posts later today on USA Today Online, I wrote a column about this has got to stop, that Americans have to stop boycotting Russian businesses and vandalizing Russian-owned businesses because the people who own those businesses don't like Putin. You're punishing other Americans who happen to be of Russian descent, and they don't like Putin either. They want him out.
You know.
So, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, with the exception, and then Enrico Letta has a question as well. This is somewhat deja vu to what happened 2 years ago with the Chinese restaurants because, you know, COVID came from China, you know, and that kind of worked its way through. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Dave, I'm really curious to hear you. What about the questions that are really related to, for example, to energy policy, such as the energy, for example, U.S. president talks about energy independence. What do these Russians believe regarding this big issue? And they are also American citizens, I guess, most of the people that you ask.
Well, okay. So we didn't get into the specifics of energy because that bubbled up in a big way after we started the poll. Mm-hmm. But you know, the other piece is, you know, is important because this is really about Russia expanding its sphere. Okay. And we asked the question to Russians. We said, do you approve or disapprove of of Russia extending its sphere of influence to surrounding countries in Eastern Europe? Because that's the big threat, right? Only 11% of Russians said yes, 77% said no. And then we asked if Putin should be removed from office. Now, this question I expected a lot of people in a poll, they're taking a poll for, you know, USA Today and Suffolk University. I figured a lot of people would balk out of this question and say, I don't know, I'm not going to say in a poll.
Mm-hmm.
Not true. 82% of Russians want Putin removed from office. 82%.
Moved.
And then Nicoletta, and then we asked whether or not Putin should be charged with war crimes. And 70% of Russians said yes, he should be charged with war crimes. Only 19% said no.
These people have their relatives there. So what about the measures? They cannot talk to the phone right now. They cannot communicate with these people. What do they say about that?
Yeah, so we did ask some questions about whether people have communicated with relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked them, tell us what your relatives think about Putin, the invasion, and whether or not relatives are fighting in Ukraine, on both sides. So the Russians say to us, their relatives back in Russia, the ones that they're talking to, only have a 14% approval of Putin and a 71% disapproval. These are people who live here who are talking to their relatives back home saying they don't like Putin. And when we asked, well, do your relatives support the invasion? Only 8% said yes and 79% said no. So you're absolutely right, Nicoletta. It's not a thing where there's a disconnect where Russians here think one way and Russians there think another way. What they're telling us is that their relatives are scared and they disapprove of this.
And what about...
Now their economy is getting hammered, mm-hmm. So I think that's part of it.
And what about the U.S.? Is the U.S. doing enough? Did you ask if the U.S. and the U.S. policy is doing enough things right now in order to
help the Ukrainians. Yeah.
So that was a very, very important question, because when we looked at the poll, this is where they differed. 50% of Russians said the U.S. was not doing enough, which is a healthy amount, but 71% of Ukrainians say that the U.S. is not doing enough. And that's impacting both. Joe Biden was underwater in his approval with both Russians and Ukrainians, but Ukrainians actually dislike Biden more. And we believe it's directly tied to this question, Nicoletta, that the U.S. is not doing enough. 71% said that wasn't the case here. And that's a big piece of this, because we asked these groups, okay, what should the United States do? And in every single choice, Ukrainians want us to do more. Economic sanctions, 13 points higher than Russians, 72%. Increased military hardware, 18 points higher. Deploy troops to the region, only 35% of Russians want us to deploy troops to the region. 51% of Ukrainians want us to deploy troops to the region. And then deploy troops to Ukraine to the front lines, 18% Russians, 30% Ukrainians. So one in three Ukraine. This is where it's going to get really tricky and dicey. One in three Ukrainians want us to send troops over there to the front lines in Ukraine to fight Russia.
That's World War III. You're talking World War III. That's what that is.
But it's also survival, Teddy. You've got people in Ukraine who are dying. You've got people in Ukraine. So, of course, they're going to want the backup. They're going to want U.S. to up the ante and to get in there and help them, because they're losing brothers, sisters, cousins, all to this war. And this is where public opinion may shift again. Mm-hmm. This is you know, because the polling nationally is like 70%. Do not want boots on the ground, you know, don't want troops over there in any capacity, whether it be in the region or on the front lines. And, you know, you look at today's headlines where, you know, a member of the press got killed this morning, and you've got, you know, more deaths and more video of people getting killed.
Yeah, the videos have been just...
The pressure is going to... You know, this poll is telling us that the next week there's going to be intense pressure to deploy troops or to do more, because they're not happy with Biden. I thought going into this poll, Ukrainians would be like, rah, rah, Biden, he's great, he's giving us money, mm-hmm. he's pledging to do all of these things. That's not the case at all.
So it's open a matter of the leadership. So it needs a lot of analysis regarding this issue.
Yeah.
And I understand that these people express a fear that worse things are coming. They are really worried regarding the measures that the American policy should take right now.
Yeah, they are. And they're worried about, you know, a world war. They're worried about, you know, we asked Ukrainians how worried are they about a war between Russia and the U.S. 68% said very or somewhat worried. So they're worried about the war, but they want more troops mm-hmm. on the front line. So there's this kind of survival mechanism versus what they're theoretically thinking about. And that's, you know, that's something that's, you know, going to kind of flush itself out in the next 7 days. I mean, we even asked on this question, who do you trust more to handle this situation, Joe Biden or Donald Trump?
Well, you asked that question. You asked that question.
We asked the question. It's going to be posted tomorrow. Trump said that Russians said Trump 44-43%. They would trust Trump over Biden. So it was within the margin of error, 1 point. Ukrainians said Trump 40-37, 3 points. with 23% undecided. So even, you know, if you're Joe Biden, you can't win. You're sending over, billions of dollars with the help of Congress to bolster, to give them money, to give them military hardware, and it's not enough, it's not enough, it's not enough. And Biden can't even get the political benefit of taking that action because among Russians and Ukrainians, they still don't believe enough is being done.
David, we're coming up to midterm elections very soon. I'm sure you're going to start the polling sooner than later. Now we also have this war. What do you think that the impact of this war will take a political party? You know, will it favor one party over another?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Teddy. And one of the findings from our regular poll, the national poll we did last month of everybody, all voters, was that for the first time in probably 12 or 13 national polls, we asked a question about we asked respondents to describe the economy to us. We gave them four choices: economic recovery, stagnation, recession, or depression. Most of the time in these polls, they say economic recovery, high growth, low unemployment. Then it started to turn last year, right around the time of the Afghanistan pullout, and people stopped saying economic recovery as their top choice and rotated to stagnation. But in this poll, to answer your question about the midterms, the more people said that we were in a depression or recession, 51%. Mm-hmm. And Chuck Todd on Meet the Press last Sunday was really upset at the finding, and he was lamenting about how people don't know what a recession is and what a depression is. But the poll was clear. The price of gas has really made people upset because they have to, like, once again, change their behavior. First, it was COVID. Mm-hmm. People had to change their behavior. They had to wear masks. They had to get shots. Now they have to change their travel behavior. And Chuck couldn't understand, when he was discussing our poll, that phenomenon. I think that's going to be really the sledgehammer that hurts Democrats in the country come this fall. And there's really nothing, if you're a member of Congress, you're going to take the hit for it, but there's really nothing they could do. They could put in price controls. President Biden could open up the spigots and flood the market with more oil using the reserves, but he's choosing not to do that because he doesn't want a further economic collapse. And, of course, the stock market's been very fragile over the last week or two. So he's really between a rock and a hard place. So I would expect a big sweep unless Biden can bring an end to this war and be seen as a strong leader. Mm-hmm. And, and then Democrats could enjoy the benefit. But people don't generally vote on national issue, international issues when they vote bread and butter issues. Mm-hmm. Do I have more money in my pocket? Am I underwater? Mm-hmm. Do I have to borrow money on my credit card to go to the gas station? Mm-hmm. You know, those kinds of issues.
Well, you know, each and every one of our experiences. I have a question. David, have you ever, on the Keystone Pipeline, I know I'm kind of switching things here a little bit on you. I'm curious to see, because in a sense, this has been a little bit of a political game. You know, the Democrats in general, I'm just making generalizations, you know, they wanted it shut down. They want, you know, clean energy. The Republicans on the other side. Any pulse on that in regards to now with these prices going? And I know it's still only, even if they piped it in, it's 10%. It's not the answer, but it's the buzzword that's out there. Open the pipeline. If you look on social media, you see pictures of pipeline. Open it up. Why are we doing this? Why are we paying? You'll see the pipeline, then you'll see $6 a gallon. So you know the game they're playing. But I'm just a little bit curious in regards to what seems to be the pulse. Or have you had anything on that about opening it, and particularly amongst, you know, Democrats and Republicans?
So I think the Democrats who could lose in the fall are boxed in, and they're going to take a more moderate position.
Yep.
What happened politically, and I know this because it affected my business, was that about 6 years ago, when AOC emerged as a big leader of the left, the progressive left, people who were in office who were Democrats were starting to get knocked off one by one in primaries, in Democratic primaries, by more progressive candidates. And so I started getting hired by these Democratic congressmen to fend off these progressives, to fend off the progressive challenges. And what happened when Biden got elected, and right after the inauguration, he married the progressive wing of the party. He basically made the decision, if I don't totally go to the far left on these positions, people who are, you know, the kind of the mainstream Democrats, the Biden Democrats, if you will, were going to get knocked off. So he was trying to protect the majority, ironically, by going far to the left and shutting off the Keystone Pipeline and taking more aggressive stances on development and licenses to companies to drill and all of that stuff, the shale. And so, ironically, what happened is it backfired because, by going far to the left, he alienated the middle. And now you've got independents who give him a high disapprove. So now you're Joe Biden. You don't want to lose your friends to progressive Democrats in primaries, but then you don't want to lose your friends to Republicans who are going to beat you with independents. So Biden's really in a tough spot. My guess is that he's going to have to come to the middle, and the party's going to have to come to the middle. And if they lose a few seats to progressive Democrats in the process, then so be it.
Mm-hmm. David, first of all, thank you so very much. And before we let you go, first of all, we're entering into the, Saracosti season. So, we know that and we want to take care of all of that. But here we are, 2 years ago, right? What was it? 2 years ago, exactly. We started COVID. Now we have this to deal with. We've got, the world basically upside down. We try to all stay positive and get through it as a community. And, your participation, obviously, along with so many others that have participated, just brings us, to the forefront of whatever it is. I also want to, before I let you go, I want to focus on something that you said and ask a question. The Russians and the Ukrainians that are in this country, you'd mentioned their demographic, educated, financially comfortable. And if you equate that situation, I'm sure that the listening, those that conducted the poll, 1,000 people, I'm sure they were all completely, knew the facts. Sometimes you'll take polls and you're calling somebody random and they really aren't. They didn't know the facts. So number one, my question is, did they really know exactly what was going on with factual information? And then secondly, the Russians and the Ukrainians, take a look at what we were witnessing just 4 months ago with Afghanistanian refugees. And, we're watching pictures of the Ukrainians fleeing refugees and they're leaving in their Peugeots and their, Volvos. And they're driving over the border and these, they've got a car to live in. The Afghanistanians, I realize it's a third world country, but look at the range of what is really happening in regards to, refugees worldwide. It's not just the third world countries. It's hard to fathom that.
It is. So answer to the first question, number one, they were much more engaged because they have, many of them have relatives, so they're very, very daily, okay. They're attuned to the situation.
So do they watch TV, listen to the radio, or I think that they were going to talk with their relatives, but mostly they watch TV?
Yes, they do, and if you read the USA Today column, which doesn't have all of the numbers from the poll in it, we actually had 6 or 7 people in our interviewing base who were willing to go on the record. It's a fabulous read because you actually get, you put a name with a face,
mm-hmm.
and you actually hear the anguish and the pain of these people. Teddy, in answer to your second question, a human life is a human life, whether mm-hmm. they drive a Volvo or a horse and carriage.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's this
Amen.
Is about oppression.
Amen.
This is about oppression. This mm-hmm. is about a country, as you can see from the article today, you know, a big country picking on a little country and using their might to exercise, you know, an invasion. And so, you know, my heart bleeds for anybody that has to just pick up and get in their car and leave.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that.
Yes.
Think about what people in your listening audience would do if next week you had to get everything that you own, put it in a car, leave whatever you don't need behind, and just leave. And
potentially not know if you'll ever come back or start a new life.
And,
I mean, it's...
And when you return, your house could be leveled.
Mm-hmm.
There could be no house. I mean, that's very powerful.
Boy,
Μάλιστα. Λοιπόν, νομίζω, κύριε Παλαιολόγο, θα είστε πολύ busy το επόμενο διάστημα και έχει πολύ μεγάλο ενδιαφέρον να δούμε τι θα πούν οι Ρώσοι και οι Ουκρανοί, οι οποίοι ζουν στις Ηνωμένες Πολιτείες, το επόμενο διάστημα και καθώς θα προχωράει η κατάσταση αυτή. Νομίζω ότι έχετε ένα πολύ σημαντικό έργο το επόμενο διάστημα. Σας ευχαριστούμε πάρα πολύ. Και είμαστε πολύ έτσι περήφανοι που είστε Έλληνας. Και έχουμε την αποκλειστικότητα πάντα, κύριε Παλαιολόγο. Thank you.
David Palaiologos, once again, contributing to our Grecian Echoes radio broadcast so very, very often. A great poll, and thanks for sharing it. And, of course, tomorrow, USA Today. David, let everybody know how they can read the article and how they can pick it up.
Okay, they can read the article online right now, but the actual posted results...
Mm-hmm.
With all of the breakdowns and the crosstabs will be tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock a.m. But I wanted to get on your show and give you this information and put it out there. And if people want to read my column will be posted today, this afternoon. And if you like it or if you have relatives in Russia or Ukraine, feel free to retweet it or share it and like it or whatever, because I think it's an important column.
David, you keep up the good work, and I'm sure that as we, I'm sure we'll be communicating again soon. Thank you, David. Thank you for reaching out, and you're the best. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
David Palaiologos.